And our five to sixes, if you can hop out now, we are going to have a look at Mark chapter 10. And you can find them in your Bible on page 1540, or you can follow along on the screen behind me. So we're beginning at verse 35 through to verse 45. So I'll hand over to the five to sixes now.
Hi, my name is Reuben, and I'm part of the five sixes. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked.
They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and let the other sit in your left in glory." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink, or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with?"
"We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and can be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared."
When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them.
Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all.
For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many."
Thanks so much for our 5-6s. That was fantastic. Well done, guys. And good morning, everyone. My name is Cam Maxwell. Yeah, round of applause for those guys. Excellent. Hey, kids down the front, you're very welcome to stay if you'd like, but you might find it more comfortable to go back and sit with Mum and Dad or find a seat back up there if you'd like. It really is great to have our kids with us this morning. It's great to have our youth band underway. It's only a few times a year we have a service with the whole church family in together like this. It's just really, really special. And what we're talking about today is actually something for everyone of every age. As we've already heard, we're talking today about, well, how to be truly great. Some of us here might have been thinking, as you've been listening to Atlas, well, I already am really great. I am the GOAT. Others here might be hoping one day, like Atlas, to be great. Perhaps you have your heart set on kicking that winning goal in the AFL Grand Final. Or perhaps some of you are just thinking about what you can invent to make yourself rich and famous one day. But it's possible that there'll be people here today and you've actually never felt like you're great and you never really thought that you could be great. But Jesus, the greatest person in the whole universe, he teaches us what real greatness is. And he teaches us that I think we can all be great. I want to say as we get started that Jesus' way of greatness is way better than collecting trophies that just sit on a shelf and collect dust. It's way better than getting applause from a crowd or just having lots of people to boss around and do what we say. Jesus has a better sort of greatness he teaches us about. Greatness, as we've heard already, is to serve others. It's very simple when you put it like that. Greatness is to serve, but it's so different to how we normally think about being great. We just heard in our Bible reading that even Jesus' first disciples, they didn't understand this. And in fact, if you have your Bibles there, I'd encourage you to open up to Mark 10. And you'll see there in verse 35 that the disciples, James and John, they come to Jesus, these two brothers. They came and asked Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, will you do whatever we ask?" Now, that's a very clever question, isn't it? Can you do whatever we ask kids? I reckon if you ask your parents, you know, "Mum, will you give me whatever I ask for before you ask it?" If you get a yes at that point, the world is yours, isn't it? It's a great, clever little question. But Jesus is not silly. Jesus asks, well, what is it you're asking? What is it you want? Now, if you knew that Jesus would give you whatever you asked for, if you knew all you had to do was ask and he'll give it to you, what would you ask for? If you knew he would definitely give it to you, what would you ask for? Would it be something for yourself? Something that would help you be great or to make your life great? Or would you perhaps be thinking about asking Jesus to do something for someone else? If you're not sure how you'd answer that question, perhaps our own prayers help us answer this. As we pray, do we usually only really ask Jesus to help me and to make my life better and great? Or do we regularly ask Jesus to help others? Well, in this story, James and John, the disciples, were only thinking about themselves. They ask in verse 37 that Jesus would make them the most important, the most powerful, the greatest people in Jesus' kingdom. They're only thinking of themselves. They want to be better than everyone, don't they? They want to have everyone else serve them and do whatever they want them to. Be great being the boss, they think. Jesus basically says to them, look, that's not something I can give you. But then the other 10 disciples heard about it, and they were mad. They were kind of a bit upset, I reckon, because they thought John and James wanting to be the most important disciples meant that they couldn't be the most important disciples. And I reckon each of them thought, I'm the greatest, I should be in charge. Do you ever find yourself a bit like this? I mean, have you ever compared yourself to someone else and thought, yeah, I'm smarter than them, I'm cooler than them, I'm better dressed, I've got more money, I'm better looking, I have a shinier head? You know, it's all kinds of ways we compare ourselves with others. Once we're convinced ourselves we are better than someone else, then we might start feeling we're a bit too important to care about them. Like, our time's not really worth actually listening to them or getting to know them. We might even think sometimes that we might be able to think of times where we've used people to get what we want out of them. We might pretend to care so that they'll do what we want them to. See, if we think greatness means getting our own way, if we think that means we'll get others to do what we want them to, and if our prayers to Jesus are all about us and not others, well, Jesus has something very serious and something very important to teach us this morning. So in verse 42, Jesus gathers his disciples together. He said to them, you know that those who are regarded as the rulers of the Gentile, they lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. What Jesus is describing is something we know from our world. It's everywhere. In the schoolyard, you probably know a friend who bosses everyone around and makes them do what they want. In our workplaces or in our government, it's everywhere. Jesus is pointing out what we already know, that usually when people get to be in charge, they tend to treat everyone else terribly. It's almost as if when people get in those sort of roles, other people just exist to serve them. And again, maybe we can think of times when we've treated people that way. We've treated them not as people to love, but as if they only exist to make my life better or to help me make more money. Now, this is a very normal way of happening, of how things happen in our world. But Jesus came to teach us how things really are and what real greatness looks like. So Jesus continues. He says, others rule it over, others kind of like to be the boss. Verse 43, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. Jesus is saying being great is about being a slave. Now that does, I have to say, sound a bit crazy, doesn't it? Like the idea of serving, helping others, we kind of like that. But that's not what Jesus is saying, being a slave. That was an especially a crazy thing to say back when Jesus said this, because all around the Roman Empire were slaves. And no one had ever looked at a slave and thought, hey, they're great. They're greater than me. I want to be more like a slave. This unheard of kind of thing to say. Slaves were the lowest of low, and the whole point of being a slave is you did everything for someone else. You had no freedom for your own. So just like we like often to look down on others to help ourselves feel good, everyone looked down on slaves to help themselves feel important or great. But Jesus says, no, to be great, don't make yourselves great. Make yourselves like a slave. Go down to be like a slave. So true greatness is not about money in the bank or trophies on the cabinet. It's not about power or making others do what you say. True greatness is about truly serving others. And again, this doesn't really make that much sense until Jesus points to himself as the great example of what greatness looks like. the greatest person of all time, Jesus himself, tells us and shows us what greatness is. In verse 45, Jesus talks about himself and says, "For even the Son of Man," that's him, "even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So when you think about it, Jesus, Son of God, could have come to earth and bossed us all around. He could have treated everyone like rubbish. He could have. He could have done everything just to suit himself, but he did the opposite, didn't he? He cared, he loved, he helped everyone, always at great cost to himself. And Jesus did the greatest thing of all. He gave his life. He died for others. He died for us. When it says here, Jesus gave his life as a ransom, that word ransom, ransom is the money you might pay to free a slave. Ransom is the money you might pay to free a slave. So what Jesus has done is given his life to free us, actually, from a terrible slavery, the worst kind of slavery, of being slaves to loving ourselves. Enslaved by our own selfishness or our vanity or our pride or our conceit. Jesus, by his death, has freed us from slavery to such things. He's freed us from sin. And so what's so amazing here is Jesus is saying we can use our freedom he has bought for us. We can use our freedom to freely, to volunteer, to give, to serve others. Not being about ourselves. But to be great here is to follow Jesus' example, the greatest example of all. Jesus has served us, giving himself. He's poured himself out for us. And so if you want to think more about the word serving means, what does it look like to serve? Well, Jesus is our model. Because Jesus loves us. His service is loving. And he puts his love in action. That's what serving is. It's love in action. So, Jesus here has taught us, he has set us free, free from the slavery of loving ourselves and being selfish. And Jesus teaches that us that to be great, well, we serve. We love others by helping them and doing what they need. So, what this means is that all of us can actually be great. Not just you wanting to be great, we can be great. We can be great as we follow Jesus and as we serve others. I want to say, I reckon it's really freeing when you realise this, what true greatness is. It's very freeing because it means instead of trying to be great at all the things we want to be great at, we can enjoy being good at things. That's great. But we don't have to turn everything in life into a competition. We don't have to keep comparing ourselves to others, who's better, who's worse. It's actually freeing when life is about loving and serving others, not competing with them. Greatness is that simple. It'd be crazy, of course, though, wouldn't it, if we turned serving into some kind of competition? How silly it would be if we thought, well, I serve more people than they do, so I'm better than them. That goes against exactly what Jesus is talking about. That'd be crazy. And the good thing is we can be involved in serving people in all sorts of ways every day. We can serve each other around the house at home just by helping clean up, by doing a job even when it's not your turn, or cleaning up a mess that someone else made. We can serve others at school or work or uni just by helping someone else out when they're sort of stuck in their work, even if it slows us down, even if it costs us our precious time, and even if no one else even knows about it. Because that's something really important about serving. If we only serve so other people notice us and thank us and think we're wonderful, actually we've served because we want it to be about ourselves rather than helping them. But serving comes from loving others. That means it doesn't matter if others think we're wonderful when we serve. It's great if they even don't even notice that we've helped them, because it's not about us. It's not about the thanks we get. Serving is for others, not me. Now, I reckon there's something really, really special about being part of a church family where we regularly get to serve each other. As we follow Jesus together as his disciples, we get reminded all the time of how he has loved us, how he has served us. And so it means we are reminded all the time that we're free to serve each other joyfully. Each week when we get here at Tonsley, there are all kinds of things that happen as we do this. We have sound and vision that gets all put together and looked after and works well. There's coffee, there's morning tea, There's welcoming teams, our set up and pack up happens every week, and of course our kids ministry. Kids, you know your teachers are great, don't you? Your leaders are great leaders because they come and they serve you in your programs, and it's wonderful. And so it's such a great privilege to belong to a church where there's so many great people serving, loving, looking out for each other. And it's so special as well, like we've had this morning, like we have every week, our kids and our youth involved in serving in all kinds of ways as well. Now, as we do these kind of tasks together, these kind of jobs on a Sunday morning, remember this morning why we serve, why we're part of our ministries. We serve here not because Joe or Kelly asks you to do something and they're so lovely it's hard to say no to them. That's not why we do it. And we don't serve because it's a good way to contribute. It kind of is, but that's actually not our reason for doing it. The reason to serve each other, the reason to serve each other, is that Jesus first served us. We serve each other as a way to honour Jesus and to follow him and to share his love with each other. As a staff team regularly are encouraged and sort of celebrate together when we see how many people are serving with joy. There's so many things that could become a job and a task you sort of grumble your way through, and other people don't do what they should, and you know, they're not serving like they should. We could get really grumpy at one another, and yet, week in, week out, so many of us are joyfully enjoying the privilege of serving our church family and serving Jesus. But serving each other isn't just about getting certain things done or serving in a formal ministry team. We serve in all kinds of ways. We love and care for each other in big and little ways. It might be simply praying for someone you know is going through a tough time. They might never know about it, but what a great way to serve them. It might be saying hi to someone you realise is new or a bit lost here on a Sunday morning. I actually think singing loudly is a great way to serve others. We encourage each other as our voices together praise God. And as we talk to each other about Jesus and following him, we're serving each other. Simply listening well when we ask, how was your week, is a great way to serve each other. So serving is not a list of jobs to do, but as we follow Jesus, we live a life all about service, about serving other people. So I can actually encourage us all to have a think about someone you know who serves in such a way you think, yeah, that's how to do it. Maybe you know an older Christian who serves people joyfully. They've never really wanted praise or applause, but they keep doing the things that are hard, the thankless tasks no one else will do, because you know they love others. Do you know people like that? People that you can look up to and be more like? For me, I think of a wonderful woman named Kay who, in her 90s, makes a regular effort to be at church. Really, really difficult. Really difficult to get out, especially in the middle of winter, but she does everything she can to be there, to encourage God's people. And even though her body can't do the things it used to, she can pray, and so she does. She prays and she prays. I was also a few weeks ago down at Summit Camp with our youth. So Summit Camp was a camp for youth from our church and for youth from other churches in the southern sort of area here. The cooks who were in the kitchen that weekend, they volunteered their whole weekends, plus plenty of hours beforehand preparing and shopping and planning. They toiled away night and day, not wanting anything out of it. The cooks who are there are the same cooks who were cooking for me when I was a uni student many, many years ago. For decades, they've poured themselves out in this very specific, very key way to serve joyfully so that others can grow as disciples of Jesus. Who is it for you that you can look up to in a sort of model of loving service? Kids, I'd encourage you to have a look at your ministry leaders or your youth leaders if you're at youth. They love you. They're serving you with their time. They're prepared to be there to love you and look after you. But the person, of course, I want to keep encouraging and looking most to as our model is Jesus. Because Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So would you join me as I lead us in prayer? Lord Jesus, we thank you for how truly great you are in every way. Thank you that you have showed us what a life of serving others is like. Thank you for giving your life up for us and pouring yourself out. So please help each one of us here keep growing as your disciples, especially in the way that we joyfully serve each other because you have served us. Amen.